You know, today I want to talk about this question of how do you survive the storms in your life as we continue our way through this surviving the most wonderful time of year. I want you to think about that in a real terms. I was just thinking today about all the storms people are struggling with, even in this church. You know, we got people that are struggling with the storms of grief. They just lost a loved one. We got people that are struggling with raising their grandkids because life has just kind of organized it in such a way where that's where it is. Struggling with wisdom, struggling with strength. We got people that are struggling with health issues in some real-term ways. The healing process hasn't gone according to plan, or they're scared to death because they heard the word cancer, or they need to lose weight, or you name it. We got relational struggles in marriages. We got relational struggles with kids. We've got all sorts of things going on. Storms. And we love the seasons where they just go smoothly, man, and everything's going great. And if that's where you are today, celebrate that and have an amazing Christmas and celebrate God's mercy and grace upon your life. But truth is, we go through these storms on a somewhat regular basis. And when they hit, they can hit hard and they can confuse us and they can scare us and all those different things. And as you think about that, there's, you know, even as we celebrate Christmas, there's actually a lot of storms in this narrative of Christmas, isn't there? In this very first Christmas, it was surrounded by storms. You got a baby conceived outside of wedlock, so they thought. You had shame in the community, nearly averted divorce. You got traveling across country to go to a census, all while 9 months pregnant, and you didn't get to fly in a plane, and you didn't get to drive a car. You were walking or riding a donkey. Forgot reservations at the inn, or they lost the reservations at the inn, or your husband didn't make reservations at the inn. I don't know what happened, but there was no room in the inn, right? And there's no room in the town for that matter. There was no place that was open. You found a garage that somebody was letting you sleep in, but it wasn't one with cars. It was one with smelly animals, and it was where they ate, and it was gross and disgusting and damp and cold. And that's where she had the baby. A lot of interpersonal and situational storms in the midst of that. And there's all different kinds of storms as you go through life, but especially as we're going on that very first Christmas. And so it begs the question, just a little bit, how do you survive these storms in our life when they come? I asked that this morning because the Bible teaches us that there's actually three different kinds of storms that we experience in life. The storms that we bring on ourselves, we know those all too well. There's the ones that come as a result of our poor choices or our sinfulness. And we say something dumb, we do something dumb, and there you go. We're in a season of pain. Talked about being a verbal arsonist last week. I got the opportunity to be a verbal arsonist yesterday for a few minutes, and it's caused all sorts of damage. And then I realized what I was doing, and I was like, oh, I gotta be quiet. And so then I started going and apologizing and trying to figure out what was going on with me, and caused a storm in my whole little family for a few hours in the morning. That was unfortunate. We got storms that God brings upon our lives. And that's kind of those situations where, you know, you got that story in the Bible where the disciples were on the ship and the weather started getting rough and they were scared and they were freaking out. And there's Jesus sitting in front sleeping. I mean, it's just sleeping. I remember when I was a kid and we had a house actually down our street burned down and there was like 15 fire engines that went by our house. Super loud, super noisy. I slept all the way through the night. Next morning, my parents, my sister were talking about it. Well, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, that's right. You slept all the way through it. Missed the whole thing. So there's those kind of things where they're freaking out, and there's Jesus sitting in the front, just seemingly not caring. But they wake him up because they're all scared, and he says, peace, be still, and everything goes calm. The waves go calm, the wind goes calm, everything's calm. And it was a test, really, to see if they would trust him when things got scary. But isn't that what defines a storm so often? When things are out of our control, when things get scary, when we just don't have the answers, when things are going in the wrong direction. And then you got the storms that other people bring in our lives. And I'll add Satan to that. He's kind of a jerk and he adds complications to our life on a regular basis as well. And I think those storms that other people bring on our lives are the ones that we struggle with the most. Because those are the ones that we're the victim in. Those are the ones that things are just happening to us and we're having to deal with it. We're having to figure it out, but we didn't sin to deserve it. It just, I don't know, somebody's having a bad day or it's just the circumstances of life. And it's those last storms that I want to take a look at today in our text. What do you do when the storms of life start blowing and you're out of control and you don't know where to go next and you're starting to be afraid? And as we begin our text, we discover that in this, we're just going to use Paul today, that God put Paul on a boat headed for Rome. And even though he was going to Rome as a prisoner, you know, in chains. He's going to stand trial before Caesar. He's kind of excited about it, though, because one of his lifelong dreams has always been to go and to preach the gospel in front of Caesar, the heart of the Roman Empire, right? The big city, man, this is where it all happened. He yearned to be able to go and preach in Rome for everybody to listen. His heart desire had always been to go there. But just about the time it was time to leave, right, guy comes to Paul and he says, Paul, tell the captain of the ship and tell the crew not to go because there's going to be a storm. So that's what Paul did. Paul, the prisoner, said, hey, don't go. God told me not to go. And as a result, he's a prisoner talking to the captain of the guard, talking to the crew. Is it odd that a prisoner would not want to go? No, it's not odd at all. And so they listened to Paul and then totally disregarded everything that he said. They completely ignored what God had told them because they dismissed Paul in that moment. So in chapter 27, verse 9, Paul warns them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. It will bring great loss to ship and cargo and also to our lives. But sadly, they didn't listen. And the why to that is probably something we could all fill in the blank to, right? They didn't trust Paul, or they listened to the wrong experts, or they took a vote, or they relied on their feelings, or they rolled the dice, or they asked their friends, or in their arrogance, they just did what they wanted to do anyway. And they set off. And you follow the story, and it's just a couple hours, and they're in the midst of this huge storm, hurricane-type force storm. And it all sounds a little bit too familiar as we think about the storms in our life. I mean, they just came, and there it is. It just happened, and now we're in the midst of all of it. And for some of us, it's a pretty good description of our life right now, even as we're heading into Christmas. We didn't plan it this way, but the courtyard actually gives a beautiful exterior depiction of what's happened in so many of our lives, right? You got a sewer problem that went rogue, right? It was supposed to be done Wednesday. It's not done still today. We got bathrooms on the outside. I mean, they got a hole in the kitchen now. I mean, it just kind of expanded on us, and things did not go according to plan. There's actually a whole bunch more to this story. Seth can give you an update on that, but... So you come in and it's just before Christmas. Christmas is next Sunday, right? And our lives are a mess. Our lives aren't going the way that we had hoped. We got struggles with family. We got struggles with health. We got struggles with money. We got struggles. And we don't know what to do. And that's scary. And the why to this question is, I don't know, right? I don't know. Things have not gone according to plan. We made some unwise decisions, said some unwise things, did some things that we probably knew weren't all that right. And here we are in the middle of a storm. And we've been surprised along the way at how people just seem to complicate where it is that we want to go. And again, we're finding ourselves smack dab in the middle of a storm. And some of you feel that way right now. You've been going through a problem this last week or this last month, or maybe it's even been several years. You've been battered back and forth. You're throwing things out of your life, trying to find that one thing that if I just get rid of it, all of a sudden my life will make sense, and all of a sudden this will get better, and all of a sudden things will start turning around. But it's not. And you're finally coming to a point of despair, thinking, I don't know if this is ever going to get better. You want to say, what's the use? There's no hope. This is an impossible situation. And that's the way these guys felt in the story. They gave up everything else, it says, and then they gave up their hope. And I started thinking, how do you get to that point where you actually give up your hope? Where you just stop believing that it will ever get better? Where you stop believing that God can intervene? Where you stop seeing any positive on the horizon? And I guess it's the same way that it happens in our lives. They've just forgotten. In the midst of all the scariness that was going on, in the midst of the lack of control, in the midst of the newness of the problem, they've forgotten that God is still in control. But again, how does it get to that point? They've forgotten that God had a plan. They had forgotten the fact that he can inject hope into absolutely hopeless situations. Again, they forgot that he was in charge, that he was in control. And really, that's the test, isn't it? Will you remember? I mean, the beautiful thing about God is that every life, Sunday of your life, the church has been here preaching God's word, giving you encouragement, trying to share stuff with you that you remember during the week to make life easier, to make life better, to bring God back into it. You got Bible studies that you've been through your life. You got the Bible that you've opened up and read through. It's God continually giving you these things, and yet something happens, and we are in the middle of the storm, and where does all of that go? And you think about that very first Christmas. At least God had sent an angel to Joseph and Mary to remind them, hey, I got this, right? It's going to be scary for a little bit, but I got this. Yeah, I know your family's going to turn against you for a little bit, but I got this. And yeah, I know it's scary. You don't know when she's going to give birth, but you got to go do the census thing. I got this. There's no room in the inn. I got this. With Paul on the ship, too, if you go through the story, God sent an angel to him and reminded him, I got this in the midst of the scary waves, in the midst of everybody freaking out. I got this. But that's not always the way he works, is it? So the test sometimes is just, will you remember? Will you remember what I've said when you were reading the scriptures that one time, or when you went to church that one time, or when you're in that Bible study? Will you remember those words of comfort, the support, the words of strength that I gave to you? And I ask that because the test of our faith is, how do you handle it when the problems come? When you're tempted to despair, when you're at drift, right? And you're starting to throw things out that are important in your life because you just don't know what to do. Truth is, character is revealed in a crisis. It's not made in a crisis. Character is made in the day-by-day little mundane, trivial things of life. It's routine, right? That's where character is made. It's the way we live our lives. But in the midst of the storm, that's when our character is revealed. When you're in a crisis, when you're in that situation that's about to swallow you up and you're clueless about how to move forward, what do you do when things are falling apart and the ship's going down for the last time? And so in verse 29, Paul begins to answer this question for us, and he says this, fearing that all would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, and they prayed for daylight. Safest thing that you do as you're going through some of these storms in your life is that you drop anchors, just like Paul did, just like the sailors did. In other words, you just stand still, and you put your roots down. Because situations change and the sands of time shift, but the Bible says in Psalm 127, he who puts his trust in the Lord is like Mount Zion. He is immovable. Typical reaction, though, I see over and over when people are going through crisis as they come into counseling. And again, they're counting some major problem, right? Something that they can't control, something that's got beyond them, something that's scaring them out of their mind, major crisis. And they have this tendency to want to change everything else in their life at the same time. Here's a little life tip. Don't do that. But that's what happens. Somebody loses a loved one, right? Spouse, by death or divorce, husband or wife. And the typical reaction is, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to sell everything, and I'm going to move someplace else. I'm going to start over because I can't stand the pain of remembering in this house or in this community or when I go to church. I can't stand remembering. But that's exactly what they shouldn't do. They don't need more change in their life at this point. What they need to do is put down some anchors, find some stability in their life, and that's exactly what Paul did. He dropped anchor. And he said, well, Pastor, we're not in a boat. What are the anchors in our life? And they're the Christian foundational truths, right? They're the anchors for the soul that God gives us. They're truths that will anchor you to the rock of stability. And the sands of time change, and the winds start coming at you, and they begin to blow you back and forth, and you start freaking out. These truths will give you confidence in the midst of the storm. The truths that you can build your life on in the midst of this crazy world that we live in. And then he begins to talk about those, and the first anchor is found in verse 22 and 23. He says, but I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. I love that this is a statement by a confident person. Everything is going wrong. They are scared out of their minds. They've dumped half the stuff off the ship. They're getting ready to dump the other half stuff off the ship, just trying to stay afloat so they're not dashed against the rocks. He's coming out and says, everybody's going to make it. Now, all cards on the table, we are going to lose the ship, and that's going to be really scary, right? You're probably going to get a little bit wet. That's going to be a little scary, but you're all going to make it. Why did Paul have that kind of confidence? In verse 23, it says, last night when an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. I want you to get that. God sent a representative to stand beside him. So the first anchor in a crisis is really the presence of God. It's remembering that he's with you. And that should have significance, shouldn't it? That he's got the situation, that he's walking this journey with you, that he knows exactly what's going on, that he sees the other side of what you're going on, that he's trying to get you through it, and he doesn't want you to be alone. Storms never hide the face of God. In the middle of that, you may think that he doesn't see you, but he does. He's right by your side. You might think he's a million miles away, but he knows exactly what's going on. And he's giving you the strength to take that next step. God had given Paul a personal experience. He had given him a reminder, for he had sent a representative, an angel, that said, I'm with you, buddy. It's going to be okay. And it just reminded him in the middle of the ship, this small, tiny ship out in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean with all the storm going on and all the cloud covered, all that God still saw him. That God was still with him, that he still had it, that he still had the situation in hand. so I don't have to worry, he said. It's going to be okay. Over and over again in the scriptures, it says, I never leave you or will I forsake you. Or again, lo, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. Or again, I will send you a comforter. Over and over, the scriptures say that wherever you are, God is. And that should be a comfort as we go through these scary times. Because it just means that you'll never have to go through anything by yourself. That he is with me as an anchor. So that know that no matter what you're going through in life right now, God's there. That he's working you through it. That he's got you. In verse 24, the angel stood by me, he said, and said to Paul, do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all those that sail with you. So the second anchor has God come into Paul and says, I got a plan for your life, buddy. And my plan for you is to go before Caesar and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, with his court, with all those in attendance in the center of my empire. You've always wanted to do this. It's a little different way. I get it. But that's my purpose for you. You're going to stand before Caesar. And I'll tell you, that purpose is an anchor. I was reminded several years ago, and I've shared this story before, so I'll just share the short version. I was going to Tucson, and me and my kids almost died, right? And we should have died. There's really no way that we are still here. But as I was trembling, you know, driving the rest of the way to Tucson, I told the girls, I said, you know, God's got purpose for one of us or we wouldn't be here. We'd be a big ball of fire someplace, but we would not be here. And it's true. I told the Bible study on Wednesday night, I said, until God's done with you, he's going to get you through everything because he's still got work for you to do. And when he does take somebody, it's because their work's done. Think about how it just kind of blows my mind a little bit. You might think I got all this stuff to do, but God says, nope, I've got it taken care of. Your wife's going to take care of this. Your kid's going to take care of this. Your friends are going to take care of this. I got people at your work to do this, and people at church are doing this. I've already got it taken care of. You've done everything that I need you to do. Come and enter your rest. But until God takes you home, he's got purpose for you. Like the purpose God gave to Joseph and Mary, that their son, Jesus, would be born the Savior of the world, and they had to raise him. That their son Jesus' purpose was to change the world and bring people back to the Lord. God comes again to Paul and says, Paul, don't be afraid either, buddy. You must stand before Caesar, for I have purposed it. And you're gonna stand there no matter what happens. Now, all cards on the table, there's gonna be some skirmishes along the way. Okay, you're probably gonna get a little bit wet, but you're gonna stand before Caesar. It's inevitable. It cannot change because I have purposed it. As a Christian, I think every Christian ought to have a sense of destiny about what God wants to accomplish in their life. I said this many times, but no person is ever born by accident. Regardless of the circumstances of their birth, if you're here on earth, God had purpose for it. And so you're not here just to take up air, and you're not here just to take up space, but God makes a purpose and a plan for every individual person on this earth. Storms are just temporary, I don't know, hiccups, setbacks to that purpose. But absolutely nothing can change God's purpose for your life unless you choose to disobey him. But everybody's got purpose, and there's no doubt that God has a plan for your life. Now, let me say this once again just to be clear. You can choose to reject it, and God will let you do that. But the scripture says that no outside person can change God's plan for your life, that he leaves that up to you. And either you obey it or you'll reject it, but no matter what happens on the outside, in the exterior of your circumstances as you walk through life, nothing can take away God's purpose for your life as long as you say, God, I want to live according to your will. And then he gives us a third anchor. There's a third truth that gives us confidence in the crisis, and that's found in verse 25. It says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. See, the third anchor here is found in God's promise. He said, God told me we're going to make it. Does God ever lie? No. Does he always come through on his promises? Yeah. God told me we're going to make it. God told me we're going to get to the other side of this. So when the storms of life start crashing around you, God calls us to put down our anchors, to remember that where there is the presence of God and the purpose of God, there is always the promise of God. That storms can't hide the face of God because he's always with us. And storms cannot change the purpose of God because it is ultimate. And that storms cannot destroy the child of God because of the promise of God. So again, God comes to Paul and says, keep courage, for I have faith that it will happen just as he told me. It's a promise. Truth is, some of you are going through a devastating crisis right now. Your problems are overwhelming, and you think you're going under for the last time. So let me say this from God to you, if that's where you are this morning. That because of Jesus, you may lose the boat. You may lose the tackle on the boat. You may lose some other stuff on the boat. But because of Jesus, because of the forgiveness and love that he won for you on the cross, you're going to make it. Because of the promise of God. And my friends, those are anchors that you could build your life on. And Jesus came on Christmas so many years ago so that he could give these to us personally so that we would remember. And we celebrate them every single Christmas so that you remember that you have a God that loves you. So you got to have a God that pursues you with his love, that is with you every moment of the day, that's got you in the midst of your circumstances, that's giving you the strength sometimes to get through them, that sees the other side and is working in ways that you can't even decipher, that has you every single moment of the day. And his promise is, I got you and I'll get you to that other side. So go with that encouragement today and let's pray. God, we love you so much and we thank you for Jesus. And in the midst of this series, you know, weathering through the hard things of life or surviving the most wonderful time of year. We talk about hard things, and certainly when we're going through the storms, those are the hard things of life. Father, be the God that reminds us that you got us in those moments, that you can give us strength to overcome addiction, that you can give us perseverance to keep on trusting in the midst of a health scare, that when our marriage is up in the air or our kids are just going and doing whatever, that you give us wisdom and patience and endurance as we walk that journey with them. That you give us the strength as parents, that you give us wisdom as we're going through life. Father, we love you and be there for us in your strength. And we pray that today in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen.